14th chapter of Isaiah. We'll read verse 24 there. The prophet Isaiah says, "The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so it shall come to pass, and as I have purposed, so it shall stand." Let's bow our heads together this evening. Heavenly Father, we're grateful, Lord, for the truth that you are the Almighty, the All-Knowing, the Alpha, the Omega. Father, the beginning and the end is found entirely in you, seen by you entirely, Lord. You know all things, the front from the back and everything in between. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this understanding that you have and that you desire our good, to work each little piece to our good. Father, help that to be our understanding tonight and every day. Bless this word to our considerations tonight, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I talk a lot about my family from this pulpit. I divulge a number of family secrets from this pulpit. And I'll probably continue doing it for as long as I stand in this pulpit, so here's another one. Allie and I play Tetris together. It's kind of, I won't say it's our guilty pleasure because I feel no guilt in it at all whatsoever. It's a fun little diversion, a distraction from time to time that we will sit down and we'll play Tetris. And if you're not familiar with Tetris, it's an old, old, old game. It's been around for a good long time, and ours is certainly an updated version. And we don't sit and compete on Tetris. We actually are together having our own separate... Let me explain what Tetris is. It's just a bunch of shapes that come down. It's a video game, and there are a bunch of different shapes. An L shape, a T shape, a couple of different Z shapes, a cube, a long shape. And at the bottom, you're supposed to put those pieces together so that they, well, form a solid block. And as you put solid blocks together and you form that solid block, it destroys the block and the wall, and you have points and all that kind of stuff. Well, in our version, our iteration has us playing together so that we are going against the computer, who has his own setup and his own Tetris drop down and all of those things. And we're combating against him as we team up together, and I'll just leave it at that. What is frustrating when we play Tetris is that you have a certain shape that comes down and you have to put it in this spot where it's going to fit next. Then you have the next one coming down and you have to somehow, based on the shape that you have developing down here in the bottom, you have to figure out where to put that, and then the next one that's going to come down, and so on and so forth. And so it makes things, well, you can get pretty good at it, but you're never going to be as good as the computer is at it. AI, as I've titled this, is artificial intelligence, and there's a measure of artificial intelligence input into the game for it to understand and know, well, the computer designates what shapes are coming for me. It knows what I'm going to use. It can read what my tendencies are. It knows what it needs, and it goes and gives itself its own shapes that are good for it. And I could sit here and just beat this dead horse like crazy and talk about Tetris for the rest of the night. But the fact of the matter is the computer knows what it needs to win, and sometimes it will just outright give itself exactly what it needs to win. And so I'll get frustrated, Allie will get frustrated, we'll talk about the computer as though it's a personage, and we'll not call it dirty names, but we'll call it names from time to time, and, you know, just act like real juveniles, actually. But yeah, it cheats. It knows that artificial intelligence. Now, if you've gotten into the news and you've followed it for some time, or if you're any kind of computer geek yourself, then you know what artificial intelligence is, and you can see that it's developed over the course of recent years, and especially recent months, and that computers are developing. They're becoming smarter and smarter and smarter, and now they're smart enough and fast enough, and I don't know all the capabilities of it, but I know that they're smart enough and fast enough that now they can write college-level essays. People are using AI to create doctorates and theses and so on and so forth. They can write music. They can create videos. You tell the computer what you want it to do. Essentially, just speak to it what you want it to do, so to speak. And it will come up with its own videos. It creates different types of intellectual property and lots of things that I don't understand. It has the speed and it has the capability and the understanding in and of itself to act based on what you have told it to do. It can act and it can react and it can respond in a very human-like manner, even to a measure that's above the capability of humans. Now, the potential problems for those? Well, there are ethical issues, of course. If you tell it to create a essay, well, based on, well, this, you have an assignment and you say, I want you to create an essay on Plato's theories of this, this, and this, and I want you to write it in my style or write it in the style of this person or that person, it will create that for you. And it will do it very, very effectively to the point that, well, it's hard to distinguish it from a human-created paper. Ethical issues, copyright infringement as it creates videos and music that sound like other artists and so on and so forth. All of these things, all these capabilities that, I can't even explain to you all the issues that can arise from this artificial intelligence. And so then there's danger that comes from it. They talk about it becoming self-aware. Terminator's coming later on, you know, as the computer recognizes it's its own person and it goes rogue and complete world takeover and all of those things. And I'm not going to go into science fiction, but a lot of people believe that there's not a lot of fiction to that science. And that ultimately, computers are going to say, we're our own bosses and so on and so forth. And people actually do fear such things. You can get on social media, get on the internet, blah, 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 and find a lot of people who think, hey, there's some danger that's coming with these computers and so on. Listen, there might be some justification in that fear. But as I'm sitting there playing my silly games with Allie, and I'm thinking about the basic, fundamental artificial intelligence that is whipping me at Tetris, I sit and think to myself, I'm not scared of this computer, my Xbox, and I'm not scared of, of the Terminators that are coming when everything goes rogue. How come? Well, artificial intelligence is fast, and it's wide-reaching, and it's capable, and it has all kinds of potential for danger, and making and creating some scary problems, but the Lord is in control, we understand, and that's why I named this actual intelligence. Because while this intelligence has the potential, this AI has the potential of going rogue and going bananas later on and causing us some problems, God is indeed the actual intelligence, the only true epitome of intelligence. And that's what our passage says there in verse 24. He says, surely as I have thought, the words of the Lord coming through Isaiah, certainly, but these are his words. Surely as I have thought, so it shall come to pass. This is what I have up here. This is coming from my intelligence. What I have thought and what I have enabled and what I have put into line, he allows us to have some say in that, our own will. But he has foreseen and prepared for and shaped things, well, based on our decisions and the decisions of others, so that his will still come to pass in it. As I have thought, so it shall come to pass. And as I have purposed, as I have designed, as I have intended, so it shall stand, he says. He is the Alpha and Omega. He has seen the front, he has seen the back, and everything in between. He knows infinity past and infinity to come. And there's nothing that he's not fully aware of. He knows all the different factors. He knows the shapes of things that are coming down. And he knows how to fit them just so that nothing builds up until it reaches the top and destroys his blocks. He's a master Tetris player, I guess you could say. He is the ultimate. He has foreseen all potential outcomes. He's evaluated all potential outcomes. He's assessed all potential outcomes. And he's worked every factor in between to work out perfectly for us if we want to walk along with him. Psalm 135 and verse 5, we don't know who the author of this psalm is, but he speaks the truth nonetheless. For I know that the Lord is great, he says, and our Lord is above all gods, as if there were any others. He's just saying whatever you want to present as there being some measure of authority, some measure of power, some measure of whatever you want to worship, he's above all of it. Whatever the Lord pleases, he does, in heaven and in earth, in the seas, and in all the deep places. Job says, I know that you can do everything, speaking to the Lord in Job 42:2, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. What you want done, Lord, is what you will do. It is what it is. He is the actual intelligence. He knows what is coming, and he's already foreseen and prepared for it and lined it up, well, to do something remarkable. Not only is he the actual intelligence, he sees all and he knows all, but he's the actual power as well. He's the Almighty God. Nothing in his hand is outside of his control. He does delegate certain things and he does allow for certain things. But again, he allows those things because he's chosen to. It's part of his purpose. He allows us to make our decisions because he's chosen to, and it's part of his purpose. And if our decisions are not satisfactory, well, he won't allow them to harm anyone else that hasn't involved themselves in those decisions to a spiritual level. He allows us to harm ourselves if that be the case, if that's what we desire. But he has positioned everything so that he even protects others from our poor decisions. He sees all and he knows all. He's the all-powerful one. Whatever he pleases, he does. And thank the Lord, what pleases him, is our good. It's in blessing us. We know Romans 8:28. You could probably quote it to me. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. We get this. But all things work together for good to those that love him because of his power. Ephesians 1, verse 11. In him also, this is one of the things that pleases him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. That's part of what he wants for us. That's part of what he has purposed. It's part of what has been in his hand and he has directed, that we would obtain an inheritance and a full inheritance if we fall in line with him. If we are in agreement with him, if our mind is attuned to his and our heart attuned to his, it's his purpose. It's his will. He has desired this, and it will be so. He does everything according to the counsel of his will, and he has counseled himself and said to himself, I want to do good for those who will receive me, to those who will love me, to those who are called according to my purpose. And you have been called to that purpose, and he does love you. And if we love him in return and we obey him in return, then we fall right in line and everything is moved around, manipulated, set just so for our perfection, our victory, our good, ultimately our joint heirship with the Lord, if so be that we fall in line in that suffering with him. No doubt, Allie and I will keep playing Tetris. And if that computer determines that we never win another game, then it's going to continue to beat us and we'll never win another game. And I'm fine with that. It is what it is. We'll never win. We understand that this world is going to come to an end at some point. We understand that the day is going to arrive here, and it approaches even now, that the Lord is going to say, enough. And this world is going to be, put away as we know it. It's going to be changed as we know it. And he's going to bring great change and judgment for those ones who haven't received him and haven't desired him. But in the meantime, until that day comes at this earth, when he stops things, mankind is going to keep creating things. He's going to keep creating artificial intelligence. He's going to keep on circling the drain, I guess you could say, as we keep doing different things to injure ourselves and harm ourselves as a, not just a society, not just as a culture, but as a race, as a person, as a being. Mankind continues to morally and ethically and spiritually degrade and just, again, circle that drain. And he threatens himself and all those ones who will fall in line with the world. But we don't have to fear those things. We don't have to fear those things that so many people, what's going to happen when the computers go rogue? What's going to happen when climate change turns all these icebergs into water? What's going to happen when the next pandemic comes and it sweeps through and it just kills every last one of us? Well, for us, sudden death is sudden glory, we understand. To be out of this body is to be present with the Lord. And that's not a bad thing, is it? It's not a bad thing. Will I be afraid of those things that the world and the mankind is doing to spiral downward ethically and spiritually? No. The Lord is on my side, the great Tetris master, if you want to say it that way. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man or robots or climate change, global warming, AI, what can man do to me that I should fear? Nothing. Nothing that the Lord hasn't allowed, hasn't foreseen, and hasn't fully and entirely prepared for, that it'll work together for my good and for my blessing, because that's what pleases God. Have no fear, child of God, any of those things that might come.